This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Welcome back, everybody. This is Wells Tech, episode 435 for Tuesday, March 8th, 2016. I'm Martin Spriggs, and this is a show where we examine all things technology slash ministry related and try and figure out what God would have us use as we try to spread his word. And helping me talk about that each and every week is Sally Draper. Hi, Sally. How are you?
I am awesome, Martin. Actually, I'm thankful today.
Good.
I'm thankful because I've been reading the book, 364 Days of Thanksgiving. It's a book from NPH by Pastor Andrew Scheer, and he challenges you to be thankful for something different every single day.
Nice.
So it's an interesting short opening, and then it's got a kind of a journal area where you write down what you're thankful for each day, and it's kind of interspersed with little devotional thoughts about being thankful in your life, your new life in Christ, and just a really neat way to focus on things that maybe you take for granted or you don't appreciate as much as you should.
Yeah, maybe we need to get him on the show too to talk about that. Is it by date or you just go sequentially?
There are no dates in the journal area. It just says day one, day two, et cetera. So you can start at any time. I have up on my screen, actually, a companion website. It's called 364daysofthanksgiving.com. And he has these devotional type messages here as well. And also a link to the book, which is available through Amazon or through NPH, either way.
Nice. Great way to start. Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about a great reason to be thankful, and that's the multitude of digital resources available to help you along in your daily walk, your devotional life, and probably more now at your fingertips than ever before. If you've got a smartphone, a tablet, a computer, there are all kinds of wonderful, wonderful resources to get you into God's Word and to do digital devotions whenever you want. And so we're going to talk a little bit about some of those resources. We've talked about many of the resources we're going to talk about in the past, but some of these have evolved. There's a couple new ones on the list. But if you want to visit the show notes page, we'll have all of them listed here. We probably won't get through the entire list because there are just so many at this point.
Right. And I would say our listeners are in for a treat, actually, because at the top of the list for me is a digital devotions Bible study that Martin put together and shared, I think, maybe in your own congregation, Martin.
Yeah, it was a couple years ago. The pastoral team said, do you want to lead a Bible study, a one Sunday Bible study on digital devotions? I think it would be helpful for our people to understand what resources are at their disposal. So put this together and kind of in a Bible study format. I didn't want it to get just overly technical and just go through and list resource after resource, but a little bit of the, you know, encouragement that God's Word provides to get people into God's Word, and then jumped into some of the easy ways to do that with the digital resources. So at the top of the devotion, and I could probably, you're sharing it too. The top of the devotion is just a number of relevant Bible passages and discussion questions. And then at appropriate times, discussions, and then finally a long list of resources. And I kind of divided it by kids' resources, personal and family, some social resources, just a little talk about social networks, and then even wider community Bible study opportunities. How would you, if you wanted to extend the reach of the Bible study, how you would do that? A little bit on prayer, journaling, and then just some general purpose tools. So it might be helpful to just tap a couple of those as we go through our conversation here today. It was surprising because it was 2 years ago I put this together, but most of the resources that we talked about there are still available and still kind of the go-tos for digital devotions, although many of them have evolved and become even better than they were when they launched in the first place.
Yeah, that is surprising. 2 years ago is like ancient history in terms of technology these days, but yeah. Solid picks that you made there.
Yeah, what I like to encourage people to think about when they're thinking about digital devotions is kind of a three-pronged focus. One of them is it needs to be daily, you know, so there needs to be a routine. So you started off the show great because you were talking about a daily resource, something that you go to and can plug in, and something that happens each day. So it has to be a routine, a part of your life. The next one is deep, keeping with the D theme. So not just kind of a superficial reading, but a more of a study. So you're taking a look at a resource and you're trying to go deep. You're trying to plumb the depths of God's word, which is so rich, and you have lots of opportunities to do that. So it's not just, you know, quick surface scan and then you're on to the business of the day. And then finally, devoted, rather than just a devotion, move toward, you know, being that devoted follower who really thirsts for God's word. And so it becomes just a part of what a disciple does is puts God first, and ultimately this is a great way to do that. So, and that's helped me a lot. It's helped me kind of carve out a portion of every day, kind of the same day, same place, same time kind of thing. So I get into a routine and spend some time journaling, thinking deeply about what God's word has to say. So lots of opportunities to do that. And God's been so good to us, and he's got so much good things to say to us. That's what this is all about.
Just feasting on the word. A great lead into just the plain old Bible that's available digitally at Bible.com. And I'm sure others could point out their favorite Bible locations online or in mobile apps. Bible.com is done by the YouVersion people, and so probably the most popular mobile Bible is the YouVersion Bible. It's a really clean interface, and you can notice if you're watching on the screen that I'm logged into my account. So if I make notes or highlight or whatever it may be, I get that on all my devices that I log into my account on. So in the YouVersion Bible app or whatever. And here on the screen, I can control things like the font sizes and font choices. I also have an icon to have the Bible read to me. So just integrated right there, at least on the NIV version, is Max McLean's reading of the whole Bible.
Great reading. One issue I have with this tool, and of course it's available in mobile form or in web form, but I think it's the same either way, is when you take notes, I've never found a way to kind of go to the Bible and see if you have any notes on a particular passage. So I'll take notes on a passage. I was doing this last Sunday, and that's when I normally do it during Bible class. I'll take notes, but I have no way of looking up a passage and know whether I took a note on a passage. Now I can go to the notes, and I can see all the notes I've made, but even in the notes field, it doesn't tell you what passage it was connected to. Have you figured out the way to do that?
Nope, I'm right there with you. I was thinking maybe it was only in the online version, so I went to the notes area online.
Right, and no-go there either.
Yeah, so if I were to click on a particular verse, then perhaps then the note shows?
Nope. It'll let you only create.
It's only a black hole of note-taking.
right. So that doesn't provide as much usefulness. So what I'm thinking of doing is kind of going into using a tool like OneNote, where I can put a reference or a link to a Bible verse and then take notes there. So there I've got, you know, the link to the Bible verse and then a very searchable, very user-friendly experience with OneNote, and that can be used with different tools as well. So if you're using not just YouVersion, but you're using, you know, other Bible tools or even good old paper, you know, a good old paper Bible, you can still have the notes that are associated with that in your OneNote, and then you can include images and audio, video, all kinds of different things in OneNote. So a little bit more full-featured, a little bit more work to just cut and paste the link in there. But I find that might be the way to go.
Yeah, I just had to stop and grab my iPad. I don't use my iPad very much anymore because it's kind of out of date. It's an iPad 2, I think, so from quite a few years old. But the one thing that I do in it is I take notes during sermon in it. I use the Notability.
Right, that's actually, right.
You know, here's my handwritten notes from church last night. We went and I take notes during the sermon, and I have, I would guess, hundreds of these sermon notes that I've done. And so that would be a really nice thing to send into OneNote as well and associate with the sermon passages. So maybe I would have a tab for each book of the Bible or something like that.
Yep. And organize, index, have tags. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's probably a great idea. Or people who use Evernote, kind of the same deal. Mm-hmm. Just something that you can consistently count on to capture whatever you want to capture.
Yeah. Good idea.
Does that OCR it for you? Does that do text recognition, or are you kind of just stuck with your handwriting?
You know, I think it will, but I haven't gone that far. I usually
there are some that do. I don't know if Notability does, but I know that most of them do. So I'm thinking it might.
I would guess it would. I usually just PDF it and like email it to people I want to share it with or whatever. Like,
but you use a stylus with that?
I do. I have my little. It's actually probably it's a Bethany pen that had a stylus on the end of it, but I carry that with me and use a stylus during the sermon. So
yeah, so lots of the tablets that are coming out these days, if it's a Surface or if it's an iPad, all support kind of stylus, and some of them even better than others. The new Surface ones have a very nice pen, and then the iPad Pro, which is a kind of a monster iPad, has a pencil, they call it, which apparently does really nicely with character recognition and feels great. So that's a great thing. Are there other people that you've noticed kind of catching on to this and taking notes in that way in a Bible class that you're attending or during a sermon?
During sermons, I'm not really looking around, so I can't tell you if others are doing that.
You gotta do a little reconnaissance and report back.
Yeah. Bible class, definitely. You see people bringing their tablets to Bible class more and more. There's several at our church. I'm not alone there.
Yeah. And that's a great way to, another great reason to do that is just going back to it, searching, sorting, just kind of your own little Bible index. I know when I was at the seminary, they encouraged us to write in our Bibles. Mm-hmm. So that became kind of the reference, but you're somewhat limited by what you could put in there with highlighting and, writing in the margins or whatever. And I've still got, the Bible that I had at SEM, and it's all marked up and a great resource. But if you want to go beyond that, I think some of the digital tools, especially the portable digital tools, like a tablet or even a smartphone, you could take notes on some of the larger format phones rather than, use the text input method. I think that's a good idea as well. So.
Sure. That makes me laugh that you took notes in your Bible. Kevin, I think, bought a Bible with wide margins purposefully so mm-hmm. that he could take all his notes in there and everything. So,
yep. Great resource.
Thing. So.
There are, of course, other resources, and some of these are dedicated to particular books of the Bible or other devotional resources. One resource, obviously, that we would be remiss if we didn't mention would be Northwestern Publishing House.
Yeah,
they are kind of getting on the digital bandwagon, which is great, and many of their books, their People's Bibles, for instance, are available in ebook format. So you could purchase these, download them, have them on your Kindle or iPhone or iPad or whatever, wherever you go. So lots of opportunities with just their resources.
Yep, definitely. And that's listed on their website. There's a sidebar item that says e-resources, and you go into that and get to the ebooks link, and they have them organized there for you. Lots and lots of things they have available now, including the Daily Devotion Meditations, which is available as a mobile app and also in ebook format. So lots of possibilities there with the great content out of Northwestern Publishing House.
Yep. And not to be outdone, Concordia Publishing House also has begun to produce digital resources. One that we've talked about on the show before is the Catechism. which is which makes a lot of sense to have in your pocket or available to you. I find great use of the catechism in answering maybe questions that somebody who doesn't belong to our church body has. So what do you guys believe about X? Or, you know, why do you believe this way about baptism? And then you've got great reference passages in the catechism. And CPH, this is a web page, but also very mobile friendly, so that you can go to this and just bookmark it and have these available to you. So great, great resource there.
And that's at catechism.cph.org. And yep. So check that out and bookmark it for sure. Another worth mentioning is a mobile app for the Book of Concord, also known as the Triglotta. And I found it for iOS. I didn't find it for Android, but maybe I just didn't search deep enough. But the Book of Concord, obviously out of copyright, I guess, after all these years, and available in mobile app form. So
public domain. So if you're ambitious and you are an Android user, maybe you want to make that available via Android as well. And of course, we should probably talk about our Synod's mobile app, because that is a great resource for devotions, and we keep adding to that. When you open up the homepage of Wells Mobile, you get a verse of the day, which we should have mentioned that YouVersion or Bible.com has a verse of the day that you can subscribe to as well. One neat thing about this, and YouVersions as well, is not only can you read the verse of the day, but you can share the verse of the day. So you could use the share icons that are sitting underneath the verse of the day for Twitter, Facebook, for email, and for SMS. So that will automatically shorten a link and send that along to wherever you want it to go. We have a whole devotional section. Two of the most popular are going to be today's devotion, which is available in text format, but also in audio format, and Through My Bible, also available in text or audio. And then you've got a whole bunch of others. In the left-hand navigation, you see Worship Helps. We've talked about that in the past. That's a great way to prep for Sunday morning, where you get the readings if you're church is following the lectionary series, the traditional lectionary series. So you get those readings with some questions and answers to give you a little bit of a preview of what you're going to expect here on Sunday morning. Military devotions, which is not really just for military. There's great content in there for anybody, but it's written specifically for those in the military. Early childhood ministry educators devotion was recently added. We've talked about that. And the latest one is something called Transformed, and that's for teens. So teens could come in here and go to the to that devotion, and every week they're going to get a new devotion. That is text only. That's not in audio form yet, but hopefully we can get that in audio form as we move forward. So great resource throughout the Wells mobile app. And then we've got blogs and videos and Wells Radio, all those kinds of things as well in the app.
Great way to grow your faith digitally right there for free, in the Wells mobile app. And we have versions for both iOS and Android. Yep. Matter of fact, the Android's available through Google Play and the Amazon App Store.
Yep. Same app, basically. So great resources there. So lots of individual resources, but part of the encouragement that God's Word itself gives us is to study together. So rather than just by yourself, find other people to share God's word with and pray over and grow together with. And there's all kinds of social tools that are available. Facebook groups comes to mind. You have the ability to create your own little private Bible study group. You can put that together and have those spiritual conversations around God's Word. I know some congregations have set these up, or just individuals who, with family members or whatever, can use Facebook groups to do a little team Bible study.
You know, Martin, that reminds me that at the beginning of the year, we actually featured several of those. It seemed like 2016 was the year where that really kind of gelled, and there were more corporate announcements you know, to Wells in general, come join our women's Bible study group, or read the Bible through in 1 year, join the group to discuss it or whatever. And so we should circle back with some of those folks that started those programs at the beginning of this year and talk to them about their success.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We already mentioned YouVersion or thebible.com. It has a friends or social component to it, and you could have conversations there, comment on their posts or likes or whatever. Google Groups would be another one, similar, but an email group where you can make it private, you could make it public, and one of the nice things about that is it can be carried on right through email, so you don't have to really even log in. You just look in your inbox and respond to people, and it goes to whoever's in the group, and again, all for free.
Mm-hmm. One thing that I enjoy is Bible instruction through different channels, learning things like on our Wells.net University site. I'll have to dig up a link to this. I didn't include it in our mind map yet, but we have Bible studies done by the Evangelism Office on the Book of John and books of, great chapters of the Bible. So kind of all throughout the Bible, Bible studies done on great chapters of the Bible. We also have a website, whataboutjesus.com. We're going to talk about it a little later in the show, but a great place to go to find all kinds of individual articles to grow your faith. And I don't think anything at whataboutjesus.com would be too intimidating for anyone to bite off and learn a little more about the Bible.
Yeah, and it's made for people somewhat new to Christianity, but I've even gone there and really benefited and been blessed by the content there. So, yeah, that's something you definitely want to bookmark. And, again, we're going to talk a little bit more about some improvements there, too. So,
and that kind of leads into then drill and memorization. And, Martin, you and I did a little brainstorming and talked about different apps that we're aware of. Obviously, any kind of flashcard type thing could be done in something like a Quizlet app, which is just a flashcard-focused app. So there's tons of flashcards out there about Bible topics, or you can even create your own and add it to the mix and send people to your set of flashcards if you want to share them or whatever. You have up on the screen my latest obsession.
Quiz Up.
That's the Quiz Up app. And looks like you're going to take a Bible quiz right here. No pressure.
Yeah, the way Quiz Up works is you can play friends or you can play whoever the app determines that is also interested in playing the same game. So which bird returned to Noah's Ark with an olive leaf? We'll pick dove. And you're in a race with the person on the other side. And so the quicker you answer, and because I'm talking at the same time, I'm not going to
Babel.
Probably win this. So we'll go Babel there. Yep, but he beat me again, or she, I forget. Round, and there's a bunch of different rounds. This would be Jonah. And these get, some of them are more difficult than others, but I would say in general it depends on the quiz itself. Some are very simple. Maybe these would be great for kids. So it's kind of a fun thing. And then you score and you ultimately get a ranking. And I'm going to lose this one because I'm not even paying attention. But it's really simple to do. And ultimately you have opportunities to pick different categories. And in some cases, these resources like Quiz Up or Quizlet, as you mentioned, allow you to upload your own stuff. So if you are maybe teaching catechism class, you could upload your own quizzes, etc. We talked a couple weeks ago about or we were going to do that this week. That was this week. We did talk a couple weeks ago, but we wanted to include that interview here. Maybe it's a good time to do that. We talked with Amanda Molstad, who put together, she and her husband and pastor and wife at their church in, where was it?
Florida.
Okay, yep. Florida. She put together some flashcards for memorization or Lutheran memory work. They call it On My Heart, Lutheran Memory Work Program. And something that allows people to build their own little flashcards. Not digital, of course, so it doesn't fit exactly with our theme, but a really great resource because you can go to their site, download the cards, print them out, and make your own flashcards for memory work, testing of yourself. So maybe we ought to go and play that interview now and then come back and talk about it.
Well, we are happy to have joining us today Amanda Molstad. Amanda is part of the group behind On My Heart, a Lutheran memory work program that we were fortunate to discover out on the World Wide Web. And we invited Amanda on the show to tell us a little bit about how the program got its start and what you can find there. But welcome, Amanda. And before we get started, I'd love it if you would introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about who you are and where you're serving and how and that kind of thing.
Sure. Thank you, Sally. My name is Amanda Molstad, and my husband and I and our four, almost five children live in Minnesota. So currently I serve as a stay-at-home mom raising those kids, and my husband serves on the youth board at our church. And I guess that's kind of where we're at. We just kind of roll with the punches raising kids.
How many kids do you have?
Keeps you busy, huh?
Yep. So...
how many kids do you have?
Oh, we have four kids, and we're expecting our fifth this summer.
Oh, congratulations. Where in Minnesota do you live?
We're in the Twin Cities.
Oh, okay, great. Well, we're really happy that you decided to carve out a couple of minutes, I'm sure, in your busy evening schedule to talk a little bit about the memory cards or the whatever we're calling them, flashcards. I'm not sure what you call them, but we'd love to kind of hear the story behind that, how that idea got started. Then what kind of things do you have in store for the program? So why don't you tell us kind of how things got going?
Sure. Well, it wasn't our idea at first. This started several years ago when we were living in Tallahassee, Florida. We were attending a Wells church there in Tallahassee called Faith Lutheran. And our pastor and his wife actually began this program as a memory work program for the kids at the church. And so they just did a kind of a one semester tryout of it. They put together this program that had memory cards kind of like this. This is what we make now, but it was very similar to this look. And so they had a section with books of the Bible and then a section with catechism. I think we started with just the Lord's Prayer for that first semester. And then a section with Bible verses. And then we did an Old Testament timeline. So they put that first kind of prototype together. And we really fell in love with it when we started doing it with the congregation there. And so we got through that first semester. And right around that time, our pastor, this was Pastor John Gensmer and his wife Amy, he took a call. And so they were getting ready to leave. And so my husband and I were really interested in, you know, keeping this in the church. We were expecting our first child, and it was something that we thought would be a great thing for our kids. And so I sat down and kind of put together a full program and fleshed it all out. Rather than just having the one semester covering the Lord's Prayer, we built it up to be a four-semester program that would cover the whole of Luther's Small Catechism. And we kept those same categories, books of the Bible, catechism, Bible verses, and timeline. But kind of made it a complete program so that you go through the entire catechism over the course of 2 years. And so once we had put that all together, we kept doing it with the church there for several years and just really enjoyed the way, you know, we really appreciated what it brought for our kids, both in the congregation and our own kids at home. And eventually we made it, my husband is a web developer, and so he was able to put together this website to make it available online for free download so that other people could use it too.
Excellent. I have the website up on my computer. I'm just going to do a quick screen share. We mentioned it a few weeks ago on the podcast. It's On My Heart, and there's hyphens in there. So on-my-heart.com. And really neat design. Kudos to your husband for doing that. For you guys just hosting it out there and making it available. So maybe walk us through, if we're new to the program, what would it be like? What should we be looking for on the website? What would we expect?
Sure. We tried to make the tabs on the website kind of self-explanatory. So if you go to the What Is It tab, you can take a look at the full curriculum of the program. You can see how the semesters are laid out. So the books of the Bible are covered in their entirety each semester. And then the catechism portions change each semester. So you do the Ten Commandments the first semester, then the Apostles' Creed second. The sacraments, keys, and confession are the third semester, and the Lord's Prayer is the fourth. And then each week, matched up with the catechism portions for the week, are Bible passages. So those change each week and each semester. And then the Bible timeline alternates between Old and New Testament. So some of the material is very repetitive as you go through the program. And then the catechism and Bible passages, of course, you don't repeat until you go back through and begin the cycle again after you've gone through the first 2 years. And so that's kind of the setup of the program. If you go to the next tab, the How Does It Work, it shows you pictures of the cards themselves so that you can kind of get an idea of what you'll be working with the cards. Then you can go to the How Do I Get It to download the program.
I'm a little bit behind you, but I'm catching up. So the download then, is it an electronic format, a PDF, or what is it exactly?
It's a set of PDFs.
Okay.
So it's all set for you to print, and there are printing instructions listed there. So one of the tricky things with sharing this program is that there are a wealth of Bible translations, and even Luther's Small Catechism, each synod uses its own translation, and the wordings are slightly different. So when we got ready to share this with others online, we chose the translations that we thought would be most useful. So, like, if you go to the Wells translation on number one, it'll then give you two different translation options on number two. And we are planning to add the newer NIV translation. That's something that we just hadn't gotten around to before, but that we've been working on it, and we're hoping to get it up in the next couple of weeks.
Oh, nice.
So if you select one of those, then you go to number three, and the sets correspond to the semesters. So whichever one you plan to start with, maybe you'd start with set one, then you select that. And then if you click the download button, you'll get a set of a few PDFs that give you everything you need to print the full program for that semester.
And they're structured so that they're double-sided, so when you print them out, if you print them back-to-back, you cut them out and then laminate them or whatever you do to them, that you've got the, you know, the right side goes with the right back side, right?
Yes, they're all
and they're about the size, for those of you listening, they're about the size of a business card, right?
Yes, so about this size. And we recommend printing them on cardstock just because that way you can cut it with a paper cutter. Mm-hmm. We found that if you laminate, they're really tricky to cut. So cardstock is sturdy enough that it'll hold up to use.
So you don't recommend laminating. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. Gotcha. And then you can get binder rings at Office Depot or any office supply store that hold them together.
And then you do a hole punch and then you're good to go. Okay.
Yes.
So do you have any sense for how popular this is or how many downloads? What's been the reaction? What kind of have you received any feedback?
You know, that's really tricky when you put it on the internet because people just download, and we hear from time to time, from especially if people we know, you know, through Synod connections or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great to hear that people are using it because we, you know, we're thrilled if other people can be blessed by our program. So we hear from time to time that people are using it, but I couldn't even give you a ballpark figure of how many I think are using it at any given time.
Yeah. Well, now that you're on Wells Tech, the numbers really spike.
Through the roof.
Well, I hope so. That would be great.
You know, I think it's a great program for parents to use with their children, but I could see having a set on my desk and using it as a nice little review for me to just glance at on a weekly basis. So I don't think we need to just think of it as something to use if you have children in the house, but something that we all can benefit from in a nice, compact way.
Well, I definitely think my husband and I benefit from remembering, especially the catechism things that you maybe wouldn't remember, you know, the what does this mean. from confirmation class, but it's great to review them and talk about them with the kids.
Awesome.
We just use it at home with our family right now, but it was great as a Sunday school tool as well. We were in Tallahassee, we used it as a Sunday school opener, so the first 10 or 15 minutes before the kids would go to their classroom, we all sat together, you know, all the ages together, and went through the week's material. And it was a great tool there. All of the kids in the Sunday school knew the books of the Bible by the end of the first semester. And the families that worked on it at home, those kids, you know, were able to memorize quite a bit of material with no problem. And that's something that I don't think we generally expect kids to be able to do anymore the way that maybe they used to. But kids are great at memorizing. And if you don't practice it when they're young, they kind of lose that ability. And then they get to confirmation class, and it's much harder for the pastors to work with them.
Right, right. So you mentioned, you know, probably rolling out the new NIV version. Any other plans for the program?
We're adding the new NIV. I also had a request just this last week for an ELS Old King James version, so we'll try to get that up there. And that's something I wanted to mention that on the program, too. If a user would like a translation that we don't currently provide, we try to be very responsive to email requests. So I will definitely do what we can to get whatever anybody needs up and available for use.
Okay. That's awesome. Any thoughts of an electronic version? Now, that's kind of what immediately came to my mind, and your husband's a web developer. That would make a lot of sense where, you know, very popular tools like Quizlet and QuizUp and those kinds of things are maybe naturals for this kind of stuff.
Sure. You know, he has mentioned to me that he would really enjoy the challenge of doing something like that. It's one of those things, though, that I think is kind of time-consuming. He's thinking about it. He has thought about it, and I think he would like to do it. It's kind of tricky when he's got a full plate at work and a pretty full plate at home, too. But maybe someday in the future he'll get around to doing that.
Right.
Yeah, be sure to let us know if he does. We'd love to hear more about it.
Excited just with the analog version, but
absolutely.
I think even the digital version would be awesome. And really a neat thing that you guys have done. And I'm sure there are many many blessings that you probably will never even hear about as a result of your project. That's just kind of a neat thing.
Well, thank you. That would be wonderful.
Yeah. Thanks very much for taking the time to talk with us, Amanda. It was a privilege, and blessings on the continued use of On My Heart.
Well, thank you.
Many thanks to Amanda, who is a busy lady, Sally. She has she has kids at home, a husband at home, but they have found time to put together just an awesome, awesome resource.
Yeah, I was excited. You mentioned it's not really fitting with digital theme, but they do have a great website that they've done. Her husband being a web developer makes perfect sense. And hopefully in the future, they may be able to turn it into a mobile app. It's all about time, I guess, in that regard. But definitely visit onmyheart.com. There's hyphens in between each word. And you can go to how do I get it and dial up the version of the catechism you'd like to download and the Bible version you'd like to have it in, and then select which set. I think it's a great tool for anybody. I know parents are looking for resources like this to use in their home with their children, but I, as an adult, wouldn't hurt me a bit to review all those great catechism truths and Bible verses that are included. So good stuff, Amanda, and we thank you very much for all the effort you've put into it.
Yeah, absolutely. I enjoyed the conversation. And it does fit with the drill and memorization section we were talking about with the online tools, and just another resource that God has given us to dig and drink deeply from His Word. And really no excuse if you want to practice your faith and to grow in your faith, all these resources that we've been talking about.
Very true.
Should we move along, Sally? News and tech.
Yep. I found an article to put in there that I thought was very interesting. Just yesterday, I read about the fact that there is now a ransomware virus on the Apple platform, which is kind of something new for Apple. I think there's always been kind of this lording over by Mac users that they are kind of immune to viruses. And now that is no longer true. This really harmful virus, unfortunately, has been discovered. It takes your files ransom and asks for $400, I think, to spring them. And so, and it looks like the virus is kind of developing where they're looking at adding functionality to it. It's really difficult to neutralize, and it might get more advanced over time. So probably
Mac users by clicking on a link or doing something fairly innocuous, if you're not paying attention, going to the wrong website that looks like maybe a website that, you know, maybe your banking website or whatever it is, and then clicking on the wrong link. And then ultimately the program runs on your local machine and encrypts your files so that you can't get at your own files. And that's a problem. So the ransomware software, you know, pops up a little message saying, hey, if you want your files back, it's going to cost you is $400. A lot of people have had to pay that because they have no recourse. So just be careful.
Kind of speaks to having good backups too, Homer.
Yep, absolutely. Yep. Sure. Let's move on to Wells Now.
And we talked about this a little earlier in the show, but we definitely want to get excited about the brand new whataboutjesus.com. So this is a site that's been around for quite a while. I've been with Wells since 2004, and I'm pretty sure it predated me. But it has a whole new look and lots of great content for you to explore over at whataboutjesus.com. And they've organized it in different categories. They have menus up here so you can check out Jesus Who and learn more about Jesus specifically. Questions around scripture and doctrinal practices and things like that are addressed in the Questioning God section. There's a section on life concerns, on the Bible specifically, so you can look at the Bible book by book or download Bible studies, just like we were talking about, different ways to grow your faith. And then finally, worship, and this is where you could find the daily devotions and worship helps as well. So lots of great content at whataboutjesus.com. I'm guessing we can give a shout out to our crew there at the Synod office. Martin, maybe you know who was involved in the redesign.
Well, it was mostly Julie Duran and Brianna Lambrecht. So those are the masterminds behind this. And I'm just really pleased that they've done this because not only did they make some nice design improvements, but they made it super mobile friendly, which really is a must at this point, the ability to pull this up on a smaller screen and still have a usable experience and see images and be able to click on articles and so on and so forth. So they've done a really nice job with this. And the content has always been outstanding on this site, especially if you're trying to share your faith, just a great place to send people, but a good review for you as well with a lot of great content. So whataboutjesus.com, awesome.
One more Wells Now mention. We probably should have mentioned this last week. It's one of those things that as soon as you quit recording the podcast on March 1st, you realize it was time for a new March photo challenge. We have really enjoyed the photo challenge all throughout the year this year. Starting in August, we've been giving you different challenges to submit images. And we have an image library that's already up to 465 photos, all of them shared in the public domain. So you can use them in any way that you need, especially for church and school ministry purposes, as well as personal ministry purposes. And you can see some of the pictures from last month there, but already we have some dedicated to Lent, which is one of our challenge topics this month. We're looking for Lent, Easter, and something to represent Luke 24, verse 6a, which is, he is not here. I have it written here in front of me. He is not here, he has risen. I just wanted to quote it exactly correctly. So anything along those lines, we would welcome your donations to the Wells Tech Photo Challenge. And to do that, you just head over to wellstech.wells.net/photo challenge, and you can read all about it. You can read about some really slick prizes we're going to be giving away. And then as you scroll down the page, you'll see the form where you can upload images and provide your contact information if you want to receive a Wells Tech Conference screen cleaner, because we have those to send to you as well. I was in the Apple store on Saturday, Martin, and I checked out these iPhone or mobile phone centric lenses that we're going to be giving away as part of the challenge. And this is some really nice stuff.
It's serious. It's not just a toy.
They do a nice job. And I find more and more that I don't have my DSLR along. I have my phone along to take pictures. So having these lenses to enhance that mobile photography experience will add a lot. So definitely a good reason to participate in the challenge. And if you didn't get started with it in August and you haven't gotten started with it yet, we'll take your pictures even now. You don't have to have been in it all along. You can just jump in and out with whatever topics seem to intrigue you. Just use the form and upload your photos. We'll be happy to add them to our challenge album.
And if you like, just take advantage of the photos that are there. Just some great ones that you could use in any way you'd want, whether that's in a newsletter, on your website, all kinds of opportunities to pick something up that's going to be useful for you.
Definitely.
All right, Sally. I think it's that time of the show where you and I offer up our picks of the week, something that we've found during the week or the previous month or year that we find useful and worth sharing. What'd you find this week?
Well, this week I'm going to share my screen quick. I want to share with you Soundtrap, specifically for education. And I read about this in a Google newsletter. It's actually an award-winning web app. You can go to soundtrap.com to experience it, or you can install it through your Chrome browser as an app and use it on any device, really. It's cross-platform. It works on PCs and Macs. It works on Chromebooks. It works on mobile devices as well. And it's basically an audio editor, and it includes loops and things to do music if you want to use some of their synthesized music. I headed over to the site and actually just clicked the link for a free account. And when you get there, it takes you right into their studio, and they have video tutorials and things that'll help you along. When you come into the studio, you can actually pick a demo file, and it'll load up all the different tracks to show you how it's done. And they even have a demo file for podcasting, Martin, so you can even use it to do the mixing on your podcasting, record right here in the app. And you can, interestingly, collaborate through the software with other users, even with video conferencing. So they've built a lot into the app, not just the fact that you can do this online mixing and multi-track work and things, control a lot about your audio settings and things like that, but the collaborative nature of it, the fact that they have all these loops available that you can add in, and that depends, you know, on the pricing, the type of access that you've purchased or whatever. But what the folks at Soundtrap seem to have figured out is that education is a big area for this. So they actually have personal accounts, but they also have education-specific accounts. And the price is a little under $5, $4.98 per year per student. So the minimum you have to purchase is 50 seats, which would add up to $249. And if you need more than 50 seats, you'd have to pay the extra $5 per student, depending on how many you need. But great for music education and STEM-type projects. Maybe it's not specifically a music project that your students are doing, but they want some background sound on their video they're creating or whatever. And with the, they have 2,790 loops that you can make use of. That's a huge, huge library of different loops that you can do, from drums and beats and bass sounds. They've got piano, they've got R&B, jazz, just all kinds of different audio loops that you can make use of to customize and build, basically compose your own music using the software. So looks to be really popular now, getting a lot of good press through the Chrome store and with education users specifically. And I think of might be a sweet spot for some of our schools and others who are looking for this type of software. It's kind of a GarageBand online.
Yeah, great resource for our Chromebook users. It's right there in the browser. Yeah, awesome. And a fairly reasonable price for what you get, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm. So check it out. It's at soundtrap.com. Like I said, I clicked the button to get a free personal account, and they immediately gave me a 30-day trial of their premium so that I'm seeing all the loops and things. With a personal account for free, you can have 750 loops and 5 projects, so still very reasonable to try out, and you get a lot of tools in the process.
Very nice. My pick of the week is something that was top of mind most of last week as we were transitioning our Wells Tech listserv, longstanding Wells Tech listserv. I think it even predates me here at the Synod, so pre-2004. Just an opportunity to join a group where you're going to talk to other Wells and Ells technologists, people who are interested in technology, and there's all kinds of questions that run through this group. If you are on the old group, you should have received an email invitation. If you have never been in the group or are having trouble getting into the group, you can always go to the group page and request or apply for membership. So you're going to log in with your Gmail account. I'm on that page. And there is a link at the top of wellstech.wells.net to this, and we'll include it in the show notes as well. But for instance, I am logged in with my Gmail account, which is not a part of the group, and I have it smart enough to pop up a little link that says apply for membership. And when you click on that, gives you an opportunity to apply to join with a little note that you can send us that says why you want to be in. And, you know, we don't really turn anybody away, so you can have join the group if you want to. Let me just change my login so I can show you what it looks like once you are in, because not only can you use email then to communicate with everybody else in the group, but you also have kind of a threaded discussion view. So there's an entire archive with all the messages that went with that particular topic and subtopics, plus any attachments that were shared at the time as well. So one of the reasons that we were switching is the listserv was on somewhat older technology. We're retiring that server. So we decided, well, why don't we just use a tool that's already available to us, and that is Google Groups. Again, all you have to do is send an email once you're in the group to wellstech@groups.wells.net, and you're going to get your message out on the to all the other subscribers, and then they can respond. And we've brought many of the topics up on the show before. People asking questions, giving answers about Wi-Fi and live streaming and church management systems. I mean, we've talked about almost everything. So a great place to be. And I wouldn't say, Sally, maybe you would agree, that it's overly spammy. So you're not going to get, you know, 100 messages in a day. You're going to get one or two maybe, depending on what topic is going. And I think that's a reasonable amount, and then participate if you want, and or just listen in. So you have lots of options there, but I think it's beneficial if you're into technology or responsible for technology in your church or school, probably a list you should be on.
And you know, Martin, from that perspective, if you're responsible for technology or whatever, it's also a tool that you can take advantage of, Google Groups. Even if you aren't a Google Apps for Education or Google Apps for Nonprofits participant, you can set up Google Groups on your personal Google account. I noticed someone actually sent a message to the list just trying this out to see how it works, because that's what they were thinking, is that, right, hey, this is a great way to enhance communication in my own congregation or school. And so, you know, by adopting this, we're all learning together, and we're kind of developing our own best practices on how to use this tool in that kind of setting. So I think it's a win-win-win. I'm excited about the change.
Yeah, and we mentioned it in our digital devotion, you know, study or conversation at the beginning of the show. Yeah, great opportunity just to put together a group. We used it. I don't know if I still have access to it. I think I may have deleted it. But about 6 years ago, even, Our congregation was doing a Through the Bible in a Year program. So we got Bibles for everybody that wanted to participate. And everybody's going to read the same section of scripture from January through December. And we decided to put together a Google group to have a discussion around what we were reading, asking questions. Well, I don't understand this, or why did God say that, or you know, what does this verse mean? Seems contradictory to that. And had some really good discussions, and then the ability to kind of capture that as well as we went through it, where people could catch up or whatever. Just felt very easy for them to participate in the conversation around that particular year-long, day-in, day-out Bible study.
That's a great idea. So, yeah, join the Wells Tech Google group just to see an example of how you might use it yourself. And then you get a lot of techie goodness as well.
Yep, you do have to have a Google account. That's one of the things that goes along with it. Now, with the old listserv, you had to have a username and login as well. So it's not all that different here. You just kind of have to have a Google account, which is easy to get if you don't have one. Do we have a featured video this week, Sally?
We do, and believe it or not, I actually tipped my hat to this earlier. If you were paying attention when I did my pick of the week, you might have heard me say that our friends over at Soundtrap have some great video tutorials. And so that's what we're going to feature, is their beginning video tutorial, Play with Loops. We've added it to our product demo playlist, and it's just a starting point for you. You can head over to their Soundtrap account and find all kinds of video tutorials where they walk you through how to make use of it. So easy to get started, and the video tutorials are excellent. I think they're from Sweden, so it's kind of fun to hear the Swedish guy explaining Soundtrap. His name is Per. I've never met anybody named Per before, but he sent me an email. He's my new online friend, Per. So anyway.
Really? He sent you a personal email?
No. Oh. He sent me a thanks for signing
automated
up.
Automated email. Came
from Per, P-E-R, that's his name. I heard him on the video.
All right. That's going to do it for the show this week. Next week, we'll be back at it again with episode 436, and it is book time. So we are nearing the end of the book we've been writing all year, called With All Your Heart, Project Management for Churches, Schools, and Faith-Based Organizations. Next up is a chapter devoted to communications. Pretty important in project management circles. Mm-hmm. We've experienced that firsthand in all the projects we run. I mean, it's hard to do a project with more than one person if you don't have good communication. So we're talking about some of the cool tools that are available today to do that communication. And one of our friends of the show, we've had him on a number of times, and we always love talking to retired professor Tom Custer, who has an exciting online conference that he's putting together that he's going to share some news about, and also some of the communication tools he's used over the years. He strikes me as somebody who gets project management, so I'm really looking forward to our interview with him and talking about what he's up to. So tune in next week for that and a lot more. Contributions to the show are always accepted. We're not talking monetary contributions. All we want are your thoughts, questions, ideas, queries, whatever. Your 2 cents, your 4 cents, your 6 cents. WellsTech@wells.net is the way to do that, or go to WellsTech.wells.net. Click on any of those friendly links in the upper right that link to our social networks. Can be probably the social networks that you're already on. Just need to find us. We should note that we hit our 500, I think we mentioned that maybe last week, 500 friends on Facebook. If you're not a friend on Facebook, please do that. But that's a way to get in touch with us, and we kind of call those. And in a couple weeks, we'll be having a community feedback show where we will surface everything that you've told us and have a conversation about it. So that's a way you can join the conversation. Thanks so much for joining us today, and blessings on your Lenten journey, and we will talk to you next week.